we've learned anything from these past couple of years, my fellow Americans, it's that personal medical freedom and liberty are in crisis. America Out Loud Pulse brings together the top experts in healthcare-related fields to keep you a beat ahead. This was into the United States Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit. You are not a horse. Or so the Food and Drug Administration alerted millions of Americans via social media midway through the COVID-19 pandemic. The agency had discerned that some people were treating their symptoms using the animal version of a drug called ivermectin. FDA decided to target that practice via the horse message and others like it. So the message traveled like crazy all over the place. You might remember that, dewormer and all that stuff. Left unmentioned in all of this messaging was that, well, guess what? Ivermectin, come in a human version, is what we were all taking. Helped save my wife, in fact, so I can speak in present company here, you know? So anyways, that's an interesting place to start here, friends. Welcome to America Out Loud Pulse. It is indeed Malcolm Out Loud here along with my co-host,
Dr. Peter McCullough. And wow, is this a story?
Yeah, it is a story. You are not a horse, it says. Yeah, I get back to that talking horse. Remember Mr. Ed, the talking horse there, whatever that program was? Was that before our time? I don't know. So this is really something else here. So now they capitulated and they're now saying that, you know, they're taking down the false claims and that they're, I guess, so what does this really mean? I guess, let me just ask you, what does this really mean?
This is unprecedented that the FDA would be pursued by doctors in court because the FDA made false and misleading claims that misled doctors, pharmacists, and patients. Intentionally misled them on a safe and effective therapeutic in the time of a crisis in COVID-19. Remember, Malcolm, with COVID-19, the first 2 years of the pandemic, we had no oral drugs available under emergency use authorization, none. So the only drugs we had were available drugs that were used appropriately off-label. The FDA in 2018, you know, has its guidance on its website. It says when there's an unmet need and there's nothing that's authorized, you know, we need to use what's available
exactly
to help treat the case. It's right in their guidance. So people learned that we started using nasal sprays and gargles and aspirin and hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, azithromycin, doxycycline, prednisone. That's what was available to us. That's what we're supposed to do. Well, in 2021, the FDA, remember in 2020, the FDA actually gave false and misleading guidance on hydroxychloroquine and said we should not use hydroxychloroquine. Well, I mean, again, that was false and misleading. 2021, the FDA says that ivermectin is only a horse dewormer. And that tweet, that famous tweet that says, stop it, y'all, that we're going to use this for horses, that somehow only the veterinary uses were mentioned. Well, it's been, ivermectin's been a drug in human use for many years. It won the Nobel Prize in 2015. It's used to treat onchocerciasis, scabies. It's been used in over 100 studies to treat.
It had COVID-19. A long history of being safe, obviously, right?
Safer than Tylenol, right? That's the important thing. Safer than Tylenol.
Wow.
Safer than the other drugs we used to treat with COVID. And what happened is in 2020, Dr. Jean-Jacques Rochester and his wife published a study from Florida, from your part of the country, and it was called the ICON study. And it clearly showed ivermectin reduced COVID mortality by 50%. And it was used starting in the ER and in the hospital. So ivermectin, total of 100 studies, over 100 studies supportive, demonstrating that it reduces mortality, reduces the intensity and severity of symptoms. And it's in 24 government guidelines around the world that we should use ivermectin. Well, you know, Dr. Robert Apter, who's an ER physician in Arizona, Dr. Mary Telly Bowden, ear, nose, and throat specialist in Houston, Texas, and Dr. Paul Merrick from Virginia pursued the FDA. And they sued them, said, listen, you've made false and misleading claims. The FDA initially had this dismissed in the district court in Galveston based on sovereign immunity. You know what that means?
Oh, yeah.
Sovereign immunity, Malcolm, means the government's immune to being sued. Yeah. You can't sue the government. And so the
just
doctors,
like you can't sue Big Pharma either. Remember that?
Well, is sovereign immunity this idea of you can't sue the government? Mm-hmm. Well, the doctors didn't take that. They went to the appellate court in New Orleans and they appealed.
Wow.
And the judge felt differently and said, listen, the case is back on. And so the case being back on, the FDA looked at this and named in the case is FDA Commissioner Robert Califf, HHS Secretary Xavier Becerra. Remember, the FDA reports to HHS. They are named, personally named in this. And the FDA looked at this. The lawyers started negotiating with the lawyers for the doctors. And then the FDA just capitulated. And
well, they had egg on their face, didn't they? They had egg on their face.
Yeah, and they had basically admitted wrongdoing.
Yeah.
They are taking down all their messaging on ivermectin.
Well, I have to tell you this first and foremost. I think you might agree with me. Dr. Apter, Dr. Bowden, Dr. Merrick, they're heroes here. I mean, I really have great respect for these cats. The fact that they push the envelope, don't you think?
For sure. And they, you know, they pursued this because it was the right thing to do. All these doctors had tons of experience in using ivermectin. They treated COVID patients. They knew what they were talking about. They had published on this. And, you know, the conclusion is that the FDA, this is unprecedented, by the way. This has never happened before in history.
Yeah, it's a big story.
The FDA has blood on its hands.
Yeah.
That there are people who died because they were misled on ivermectin.
Yeah.
The doctors, the pharmacists, the patients didn't get the drug. Yeah. And so it's a...
Well, here's what I want to ask you now. Here's what I want to ask you. From what I understand, since in order to get a classification that is EUA, emergency use authorization, you know, completely experimental, it's predicated on there not being any other alternatives. I mean, that's the whole concept, or you can't get that classification. So straight out, is that the reason? Is that clearly the reason here?
Remember, the FDA would not be seeking emergency use authorization of the vaccines. The FDA would actually be deliberating on vaccine safety. Mm-hmm. But people think that, I mean, you're bringing out is, could this be a collusion between the vaccine companies, the US government, and to clear the marketplace of any oral competitors, any relief from this syndrome? They already took out hydroxychloroquine in 2020. They took out ivermectin in 2021.
Well, wouldn't it have to be? I mean, come on.
Well, listen, they took out nasal sprays. We've had Nate Jones, CEO of Clear's on our show. They took out nasal sprays in 2020. The FTC, they attacked vitamin D. We know Eric Mercuti was publicly attacked, and the FTC brought him through. It was anything that could provide any relief. It may not have been so much the EUA mechanism, because we already had bamlanivimab on the market, which was the monoclonal antibody product before the vaccines. But it was probably actually, I think even worse, Malcolm, it was intentionally to create fear and to create suffering and unfortunately have Americans die in order to make people so fearful that they would take a vaccine.
Yeah. I mean, they literally cleared the marketplace of all these effective drugs and things that would have helped so many people. And, you know, it's very personal to some of us, including me. You know, I remember back, I want to tell you, just in the heat of it, when Delta variant, and when my wife Dee and I both got it, and she got it very severely. And, you know, I remember you telling me, Dr. McCullough, on the line that time as we were talking about what to do and to administer the early treatment meds immediately in her. And we got the prescriptions for ivermectin, and we pushed forward immediately. And you said, well, let's get this into her body right away. We don't, because her oxygen levels were falling badly. Mm-hmm. And you made a big mention of that. And we did other things too. We did the nebulizer. We did other things that were happening to save her life. But you were very steadfast on that and said, because, and then I remember, by the way, I remember it about day three or four, Her oxygen levels were falling even worse, and I started to get really nervous with the COVID pneumonia that had taken place. And you had said to me, and I just remember this moment, and you had said, listen, 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 just keep getting this ivermectin in her. You want to get, you know, a week of this into her. If you get 5 or 6 days and we have to turn the corner, we're going to try to turn the corner, keep her out of the hospital. But if that doesn't happen, at least she'll have all these early meds in her, and this will help her body out. And that's what you said to me.
Okay. So that's a really important point. People would say, well, D failed outpatient therapy. No, it was outpatient therapy. We had enough drugs in her. She had a very severe case, but we had enough drugs in her that allowed her to survive the hospitalization without going on the ventilator. Malcolm, I contend that if she got no early treatment, yeah, it would have been a runaway train.
She'd been dead. She'd been dead.
He would have gone on the ventilator, and that would have been it. Yeah. It was the early treatment that saved her.
Yeah.
And early treatment saves people from being hospitalized altogether. But even those who get hospitalized,
yeah,
they are more likely and almost always survive the hospitalization, mm-hmm, to tell us about the story later on. This is really important.
Well, they wanted to give her remdesivir. They had it on the list, and they started to administer it. And I raised holy hell. I had, mm-hmm, attorneys set up. I had my attorney already. And we were pressured the hospital. You will not give her that remdesivir. I mean, I was really forceful. And I had COVID. I was not feeling well. But she was far worse. And I was trying to save her life. And I remember the moment. And, you know, she was 2 hours away from being put on the, in our own case, and many of you may not even know this out there, but 2 hours away from being put on a ventilator. And I remember the moment, you know, Peter, I just feel the pain at that moment. I remember you couldn't go into the hospital. You couldn't meet with the people. Everything was done over the phone. Everything was like, they were just really in banana land. They were totally crazy. Everybody was. And you remember the moment, Peter, you know, everything was like, you know, you had to. And I remember talking to the ER doctor, and he said, listen, he said, we'll know in 2 hours, inside of 2 hours. The only thing we can do, we have a piece of equipment at this particular hospital. It's called the heated high flow, and it'll put 60 liters of oxygen all around her body non-invasively. And if, mm-hmm, her body takes to that, if it, mm-hmm, begins to show that it would accept that, that would be, mm-hmm, you know, then she'll have a fighting chance. She's in very grave condition, sir. This is what the doctor says to me. He says, the head of the ER there said, it's a very grave condition. So that she'll have a fighting chance. But I can't make any promises, and we'll have to see over the next 2 hours. And if not, we have no other alternative, because the hospitals had all but given up. They had no other treatments, and they threw everybody on these damn ventilators, and they died. And I really was, I knew this thing, I was losing the battle. And I remember leaving the outside of the hospital at that point and praying and talking to the people, and they were trying to get me, and I had the attorneys and all, and then I left, and my two teenagers at the time, just before college, they looked at me, Peter, and I remember they were like devastated. They had seen what we had went through in the days prior to this. And I remember they wanted something to eat. This is how bad it was. And I got to tell you this. And we stop at this place to go in to grab something to eat. They were hungry, what have you. And I couldn't eat anything. And we go into this place and we sit down. I remember the moment. I remember the restaurant. I remember everything. And I was so on edge. My body was on such edge. It was like, I can't even describe to you, though. It was so bad. It was like it was a moment I can't even ever forget. And I looked at the kids, and they had ordered already. And I said to the kids, and I started to break down. And I said, kids, I can't stay here, man. I can't do this. I said, I got to leave. I got to get back to the house. I got to get to the doctor. I got to do other things. I got to make calls. I got to get her help. I got to do everything I can to save mom. I said, I can't do this. And so we left. So my son got up and told the server, we can't stay. So we have to leave. And it was that much. We were 2 hours away. That story was. And by the grace of God, 2 hours later, I spoke to the ER doctor, and he said, well, she seems to be having some response to the heated high flow. He said, we're going to keep her on that overnight. She's in very grave condition. Her oxygen levels have fallen down into the 70s, the high 70s. I mean, she wasn't functioning well at all. And that was the damage from that COVID pneumonia at that point. It was severe. And so all of that, I mean, the oxygen, we had to run oxygen at the house, but it wasn't enough to maintain the collapse of the lungs and the attack on the lungs of this bioweapon and what had transpired. And it was a sad state of affairs, Peter, I got to tell you. But ivermectin, we gave it to her for 6 days prior. We gave her all the meds. I was giving her shots for the blood thinners. I was all intents and purposes playing doctor and nurse here, talking to you and others that were helping me through the steps. And it's so ironic because when all this happened and she got in there, Peter, and then, you know, and then it was a horrific time. I just remember the moment so much. And then I came back and then, you know, I ended up getting it worse and I collapsed then at the house. I was not functioning well. And I was trying to work through it with the network and the things I had to do. And I was like really sick, talking to the hospital every day, trying to get her through it. But my brain was not functioning well. It was like such a hit to my brain. And I was struggling so bad. And I remember this moment. And it's like, oh, God, please just get me through this thing. I got to get to the other side of this thing. And it was a horrific. I was there. I was at ground zero of this thing, brother. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I was
That's
there.
That's it. People feel this in times of crisis and yeah. War.
I remember calling you at 3 a.m. With her heart, that she was having some heart problems and stuff. And I was really afraid for her life again with problems that I knew already that existed in folks. And I was afraid of that. And God, it was so scary. I got to tell you. And, you know, she couldn't even walk down the hall to go into the bathroom. It was so severe with the oxygen levels. The day before the hospital, 2 days before the hospital, I had to carry her from the sofa downstairs all the way down the hall into the bathroom. And she would moan and cry. She doesn't remember. And do you know she doesn't remember any of this? Yeah, she doesn't remember what happened. You know that?
Yeah, I'm really glad you mentioned that. The human body has an incredibly forgiving mechanism where almost all critical illness is not remembered. So when people go in the ICU, Malcolm, and they go on the ventilator, they virtually never remember it. Really sick times, they don't remember it. I remember my dad when he had COVID, it was touch and go, it was in my book. And you know, afterwards he goes, I don't remember any of it. And you know, people don't. They don't remember it. The human body has a way of kind of washing that away, as well as severe pain. The brain has a way of washing.
She couldn't do it. She doesn't remember it. Boy, do I remember everything. You know, that morning, you know how bad it was that morning before I called the paramedics, Peter. And, you know, she's going through the motions. So you're talking to her, but she doesn't remember anything. And she's not really conscious of what the hell's being discussed. But here's what happened that morning. It was so bad. And I was just ready to have to call, and you know how bad this was for me because I talked to you about it, and I really didn't want to send her into the hospital, but I had no choice because the oxygen machine at the house could not sustain her life any further. There was no option. And so before I called the paramedics, I sat down with her, which I thought might be the last time I talked to her because I knew I would lose control once I relinquished this right. And I got a little pad and pen out and started asking her where things were, passcodes and things to the colleges and the things that she took care of finances and the kids and stuff like that and last rites and things of where this was, it was like pulling teeth. She couldn't hardly even understand what I was saying. And I kept asking her all these things and please, where is this? And what account is that in? And what about over here? And she would go through all these motions with me and she was trying so hard. And I was just trying to get it was like pulling something out of somebody. It was like unbelievable. And I was sitting down, like I was having this final conversation with her. I would never talk to her again. And I was just trying to get all the ABC so I could pull things together after I was afraid we would not see her again. That's how close we were.
It shouldn't have been like that, though. So, I mean, if you can go back and say, okay, Dr. McCullough, what should have been done differently? I would say this much. Family members who were with her, Malcolm, all those days at home. Listen, you both had COVID together. You should have been allowed to see her in the hospital. Absolutely, positively, should be able to go into the hospital and see her in the hospital.
They let nobody in. Nobody. So
that's the first point. Second point is full outpatient treatment should be continued in the hospital. That's called medication reconciliation. So that means full hydroxychloroquine, full ivermectin, the antibiotics, the colchicine, the aspirin, you know, in the hospital, higher dose steroids, full anticoagulation, continuation of everything we talked about, intravenous fluids, the full court press. That's monoclonal antibodies should have been given in the emergency room. I remember we were scrambling for Dee to get monoclonal antibodies and whether she was going to be in a clinical trial or not. Bottom line is everyone should have gotten monoclonal antibodies in the emergency room. Nobody should have gotten remdesivir because it didn't reduce mortality, has toxicities. And
well, it shut down the kidney function, wasn't it?
Right, But the point is, inpatient treatment should be far more intensive even than outpatient treatment, but it ought to be at least as good as outpatient treatment. The reason why you were scrambling and the reason why Americans were so desperate is they knew when patients went to the hospital, there was a de-escalation of care. They literally got put on the ventilator. They got drugs that made no sense, like cefepime and vancomycin. They didn't get appropriate azithromycin or doxycycline. They didn't get full dose anticoagulation. They didn't get full dose aspirin. They didn't get higher dose steroids. They certainly didn't get ivermectin. Ivermectin should have been given all the way through the hospitalization as done in the ICON protocol. And so as a result, Americans died. And so what this court case means to America is that the FDA is admitting wrongdoing. Listen, if they thought they were right on this, they have all the resources in the world. They should have fought this all the way. But instead, they knew that this would have come down to a review of the 100-plus studies of ivermectin and our broad clinical use of it, demonstrating that it works, and they didn't have a leg to stand on. And now it is really...
And the worst part about it is they're not the only ones that were wrong, Peter.
Oh, the institutions were wrong. The hospital where Dee went was wrong. Now, remember, many of them were saying, well, listen, we're just following the CDC and the FDA. Remember, they all did that.
100%.
So the FDA should have never opined on treatment. The FDA is not a group of...
Well, that's what I'm talking about. They created... You just pointed out a very interesting scenario because it really showcases the amount of stress they put on people in their lives. That was unbelievable. I felt that stress myself. People couldn't get the meds. How do we get the meds? Can we get them timely? I had to go, you know, within state lines. You had to get certain things. You had to maneuver. All this added stress on top of being deathly sick from this thing, and you're trying to save your life, and you're getting no support or help from the healthcare system. So then we ask the question, how do we ever forget this? And then we talk about this court case, and we talk about heroes like Dr. Robert Apter, Dr. Mary Talley Baudin, Dr. Paul Merrick. You talk about heroes like this, people who just went the extra mile. And there were so many heroes throughout this, as well as present company here, big time. You, Dr. McCullough, there were so many heroes. We should never lose sight of that. The people who stood for medical freedom, the people who stood for independent thinkers, the people who stood for honesty, the people who stood to, we should never forget this. But then these agencies, these government entities, this system who let us down, all the times you and I got on here and banged our heads against the wall throughout those years. I mean, I covered COVID as it was happening live. I never thought it was going to hit my own life in the way it did, but we covered it all before that. And, you know, and all of that was happening. And now we see this with this case. This is unforgivable. And, you know, what really should happen is there needs to be some new protocols put into place and some new safety measures, I guess, best way to say, to never have this happen again. When these agencies and these entities let down people, I tell you, it really is, it's horrible what has transpired here in ways that I can't, it's hard to describe, Dr. McCullough, what has transpired, and the people who buried their loved ones or who got maimed from the process here. This is sick. This is sick. And this is only the tip of the tip of the problem here with the FDA and this little FDA claim, which is huge. But there's a whole hell of a lot more here. Is there not, sir?
Oh, there is. This is so deep, Malcolm. Like we mentioned, they undermined and misled the country on hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, but also colchicine on corticosteroids. And every single time, the FDA and the NIH and the CDC's direction was to do less.
Get a vaccine.
Yeah, get a vaccine. That was the only thing that they frontlined. And it's not any vaccine. Remember, the only vaccines they promoted were Pfizer and Moderna, because Weber Shandwick, the marketing firm for Pfizer and Moderna, has an installed marketing unit in the CDC. They never said take a Janssen vaccine or take a Novavax vaccine. It's take a Pfizer and Moderna. The level of corruption is so deep, and the FDA and the CDC and the NIH have been wrong. And their decisions and their actions harmed Americans to such a great degree that there's going to be, I think, hearing after hearing, a massive house cleaning. People are going to be individually named.
Americans, I hope it happens. I hope it. You think justice will prevail here? Do you believe so?
You know, I just finished up a Senate hearing virtually in the Oklahoma Senate, and Malcolm, people were screaming at the top of their lungs. They are furious. Yeah. They've had children who've died after the vaccines. They've had people, their loved ones, lost in the hospital with remdesivir. And they were introducing themselves. My name is so-and-so. My husband died as a result of the hospital protocol. And this is what I have to say. And they're furious. And now we start to hear the senators and the congressmen, you know, becoming acutely aware. The constituents are becoming awakened.
I mean, and we use the word, you know, you just caught me when you said what you said a moment ago, too, because we use the word vaccine very loosely, because these were not vaccines. It really was gene therapy. It was a messenger RNA product. Is that not correct?
That's correct. The word vaccine is only so people can understand that these are novel genetic transfer technology products. You know, it's in the SEC filings, the Securities Exchange Committee filings for Pfizer and Moderna, that these are genetic technology products. I mean, so everyone agrees. The FDA says, wait a minute, on these products, we've got to get 5 to 15 years of safety observation. I mean, people took brand new genetic material in their body, and it codes for a potentially lethal protein devised in a Chinese biosecurity lab.
Yeah.
I mean, I never wanted that stuff floating around in my bloodstream.
No. I'm stunned. You know, I'm sitting here with you, and I'm stunned. And I want to say to you, talking about this in the way that we have just now, it's at the core of everything. And it reminds me, it's like whiplash all over again. You feel the burst of both anger and sadness. And it's like we lost control of all of it. And then I just worry the further away from this we get, that there will not be justice, or people will not be held accountable. And it shouldn't be that way at all. You know, there's so much to this. I want to say to you that there's an interesting op-ed that I think you'll appreciate when you read it, Dr. McCullough, as well, on the platform. And as people hear this on Wednesday, you'll see it right there in the news feed at America Out Loud. And it's the FDA is forced to retract its lies about ivermectin, the foundation of the COVIDocracy. What an interesting word there. COVIDocracy is crumbling. And this is one of our investigative researchers. She's really good, Patricia Antone. And she says, since an emergency use authorization of an experimental pharma product is predicated on there being no alternatives, the prompt offer of successful protocols for treating COVID-19 threatened to upend the globalist plan to leverage the virus for generating unprecedented power. So they quickly mobilized to suppress the successful protocols, denying millions the early treatment that would prevent serious disease, reduce the need for hospitalizations, and save lives. Tell me that's not well said, Dr. McCullough.
God, yeah. I mean, that's just a bomb.
It's a bomb. And I this mean, whole Malcolm, piece is a bomb. You've got to read this. You've got to read this. It's just gone live, so you don't see it yet, but you will hear. And she gets into some very interesting things. And there's another point as well, something another day we should chat about. But she, in fact, I should bring her on with us on another day. But she brings up another fabulous point. She's got another piece coming in behind it. Again, this is a investigative researcher who digs. And she's right when she says, you know, she says, I'm going to suggest challenging, and this will be near and dear to you, Peter. I can tell you that right now because you were whiplashed with this whole story. She says, I want to suggest challenging the Section 230 protections enjoyed by Facebook and Twitter and all these social media outlets in the wake of the FDA's recent loss on ivermectin. Had social media companies not elected to help hide early treatment options available even in March of 2020, because they hit all this. When you put something up about ivermectin saving somebody or HCQ saving somebody, these bastards took it down and they blackballed you and they threw you off and they treated you like a criminal, and you were right and they were wrong. And she spells it out here. She said, had social media companies not elected to help hide these early treatment options available in March of 2020, the whole COVID democracy thing could not have happened. She's right. Tell me she's not right.
That's true. They clearly were an instrument by which this injury happened. They played a very big role. But I have to tell you, the hospitals were complicit in this, Malcolm. They just said, listen, we're following the CDC, NIH. I mean, where was the compassion? Where was the innovation? Well, why didn't they say, listen, let's give it a try? Let's give it a try. I mean, when the first set of guidelines for COVID came out in Australia, I'll never forget, it literally had several dozen statements, all capital letters, do not do this, do not do that, do not do this. And they listed ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, what have you. They didn't tell you what to do. All they were doing was telling you what not to do.
So what is this? What does this say? Well, hold on a minute. What you just described there, what is the result of that say? What is the result? I mean, that's not you. These are experts in the field of healthcare. That can't be. I mean, what the hell happened here? How that can't be an accident.
The word that describes it, the term is called therapeutic nihilism. And whether it was driven by people gripped in fear and uncertain, well, we shouldn't do anything because we don't know what to do, or whether or not it was by design to deny any treatment and railroad people into the vaccines. Because the same people who said, do not do any of these things, that nothing works, they're the same people that said, aha, the vaccines for sure work, for sure they're safe. And with you know, 3 months of data, they said everybody should take a vaccine. They had no way of what would have happened. They have no way of knowing what would have happened on month 4, 5, and 6. So something got into people's
minds. It's hard to understand what that something is, though. It's hard to understand how so many went so wrong so fast in healthcare.
It's, you know, the psychological term is called delusions. These are firm, fixed, false beliefs. There was a firm, fixed, false belief that the virus was not treatable. And there was an equally strong, firm, fixed, false belief that the only answer was the vaccines. And that these two delusions, these parallel delusions, ran in people's minds in large numbers across all the government agencies, across the entire world, all the health systems across the entire world. They all had the same exact mindset.
Yeah, I tell you, it's just reliving the moment with you. And I'm sure listeners hear all this. You got to be outraged yourself out there to think of what happened, what transpired here. And now what we have to do is, you know, really, though, let's come back to our senses a minute here. We have to pick up the pieces as people, as good people. We fought the fought here. I could not be prouder. What a legacy this is. What a legacy. What we did here. I mean, what a legacy. I'm just thinking in the moment here. I mean, I just want to cry out a minute here. You know, what we did here through America Out Loud, what we did here, Dr. Peter McCullough, what we did here with all the people that are part of this establishment, what we did here, we fought through all of this for over 4 years, fighting all of these, I don't know what you call it, but it was so much bad information out there. We were on the good side of this fight. Now, we fought the good fight, didn't we? Right?
Let historians record. And the nice thing about this is it's happening pretty rapidly. Now, we're 4 years into this great controversy, but to see a capitulation like that, to see voices raised in anger in this Oklahoma courthouse, you're going to hear a lot of this on social media in the next few hours, in the next few days over the course of this week,
yeah.
To see things playing out. You know, in my book, Courage to Face COVID-19, we picked the example of Semmelweis. He was the guy who said they should wash their hands before they examine women in public exams. This guy had all the data that people not washing their hands was spreading germs. This guy was castigated. He was censored. He was exiled. He had 15 years of this, and then he died in an insane asylum.
Yeah.
Malcolm, since Sir Austin Bradford Hill, yeah. 1949, says smoking causes lung cancer, it's conclusive. The doctors were smoking. They were advertising cigarettes. The nurses were smoking. This went on for 50 years before there was a capitulation. We finally got this tobacco settlement. And everyone,
you don't think we got to wait 50 years now, do you?
No, I tell you, it's happening. 3 years, it's happening.
Amen, amen.
And, you know, wow. there's rumblings on social media that the Japanese are close to calling it on the vaccine. This is, again, this is a worldwide nature of this. State houses calling to, you know, I think shortly going to be calling for these things to get off the market. The FDA is going to have one embarrassment after another.
I think I'm hoping there's a lot more of this. That's what I'm praying for right now. The CDC, the FDA, all these culprits right into this whole thing, this controversy of this thing. Read that op-ed that she's got up there. The whole thing is an absolute blockbuster. FDA is forced to retract its lies about ivermectin. The foundation of the COVIDocracy is crumbling.
Mm.
Amen. Hallelujah. Mm. It's a lot more coming where that is, friends. While we're on the topic of ivermectin, I want to bring to your attention of a couple of things here. And that is, there is a phenomenal array of kits. There are four of them, actually, on these kits from the wellness company. And the contagion kit is stocked with some of those things. And I want Dr. McCullough to tell you a little bit about this in just a second here. But there are four of them. They are available now. They've rolled them all out. In fact, if you click the link through the AmericaOutLoud.shop, go to the wellness company, just click any of the ads there, you'll see them. And you cannot lose with these. I mean, they're just perfect because they're not only priced right, but you get everything in there you need for when these emergencies come up. Dr. McCullough, tell folks about these kits and what's in them. Give us a sense of them, please.
Well, the first one is the Black COVID Contagion Kit. So that's very COVID specific, has hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, budesonide, all the additional agents that you need. Now, it's very COVID specific. It has the budesonide actionator, which is like a little mini nebulizer. And so you're ready to go on that. So I think, you know, everybody's going to want to have one of those kits in the house. There is a broad aqua green emergency kit that really can cover bronchitis and sinusitis, cellulitis, can also cover COVID. That is also strategic to have one of those in the house. And then others, I think it depends on your lifestyle. There is a bright green, like a forest green travel kit, covers various forms of traveler diarrhea, nausea, vomiting, seasickness, things of this nature. And then the last one is the red kind of camping, first aid kit. So it has all kinds of immediate things to handle puncture wounds, spider bites, snake bites, things like this. And the nice thing about it is these are prescription drugs. They have a long shelf life to them. You have them ahead of time. So you don't have to go to urgent care or go to ER to get these. And, you know, any trip to urgent care or ER nowadays can be hundreds, if not thousands of dollars. It's far more affordable to have one of those kits. And Malcolm, I found out that you have the best promo code of anybody out there in terms of a discount, the Out Loud promo code.
Yes, it is 25% off you'll get by using the code out loud. That is a, when you say what you just say there, the best discount, that is actually one of the points whenever we have a new product, and I'm, you know, we want to have the right products here. These fantastic, I call them partners, these sponsored partners. That's one of the prerequisites for this whole thing is we need to offer our family, America Outlaw family of listeners and readers, the best price they can get. We need this not available anywhere else. You need to give us, we need you to go deeper into your pocket to give us best price and best case for folks. And that's why all those discounts in the AmericaOutloud.shop are based on that premise. And that's how we did this, Peter, from the get-go. That's how I did. I don't know why, but I just felt, I do know why, but I just felt it. We needed something that was truly a gift back to our listeners and something to help them out. I mean, let's face it, this stuff can add up and you want to save every penny you can, right?
And what a wonderful gift it is. You know, even today in clinic, I gave people the promo code out loud. I said, it's the best code. I mean, you're saving 25% off. Now, if people go ahead and get a membership through the wellness company, and there's many different promos to actually get the free membership to begin with, so you get additional 10% off there.
Use the same code out loud and you'll get the discount, the 25% off the membership.
Right. So so the membership is discounted. Then the purchase is discounted. Now, what we've done is there's a program called One Wellness, which is blanket coverage, deep coverage for unlimited nutraceuticals and supplements, telemedicine. People have diabetes and problems. They sign up for One Wellness because it's kind of a comprehensive program. And the wellness company now has its own pharmacy. So you don't have to go even on your regular care to a community pharmacy or retail pharmacy. Literally, they just ship your medicines overnight, which is wonderful, deep discounted. But the point I'm making is at the membership level, what the wellness company wants to commit to is that when people buy the kits and they actually use some medicine, they can get free restocking. So the medicines can get replenished and you can use the kit over and over again.
And that's a big point. And let's talk about it. I've got a message in. I want to bring that point up right now. I sent this to the wellness company. This is from Joni. And Joni, I'm sure you're probably listening because you're a regular listener. You said before we left on vacation out of the country, we ordered two medical emergency kits. We're grateful that the wellness company offered this wonderful kit. My husband became sick began as a bad cold that went into his lungs as an upper respiratory infection. He began using the over-the-counter cold remedies, but once it got into his lungs, we became very concerned. We were uncertain as to what we should do. Then we remembered we had the emergency kits with us. They had forgotten. Wow. My husband took the azithromycin as instructed on the bottle. Within a few days, he was fine. My question is concerned of the possibility of refilling the prescription. So we will have it on hand in the near future. I've looked at the wellness company website, but I don't see if this is offered. Is it possible? How can I get a refill? And I spoke to the company today. And you absolutely, Joni, can get a refill. You just get into this thing, you ask them for it with the doctors there. Is that how it works, Dr. McCullough?
Right, but you have to be a member. So make sure membership, and I'm pretty sure it's membership at any level. I don't think it requires the One Wellness membership. We literally had a board meeting, and it was Foster Colson, the CEO, volunteered that. He goes, listen, if people are going to be members and they're going to, you know, have a commitment to, you know, they get our newsletter and, you know, they're kind of in the club, then they're going to get this free replenishment of what you use in the kit. So reach out to the wellness company. Sure you're a member before you do that.
If it's with that One Wellness, I'm looking at the site right now. You get it's a crazy offer. I mean, you get free supplements, unlimited virtual health care, discounts on the specialty telehealth, and you get all this knowledge. You get all kinds of stuff with it. You just go look it up and see. It is quite something what they're doing here. I think they're trying to do something really revolutionary in a very interesting way. So take a look at that. Next week, too, I want to talk about this healthy heart and muscle that Dr. McCullough was involved in. We'll discuss more of that, but that's another great product that the wellness company has. We got to go to pause right now, and I also want to tell you real quick, a new product I am eating. I love these. And it's from Heal Right. And I got to take a moment because I'm having them every day. Everybody, all the hosts I know love them. You'll hear it on the network here. They're just fantastic. It's fighting back a lot of people that have high blood sugar, chronic inflammation, high cholesterol, overweight, and these micronutrient bars. For your metabolic health, it's their little bars. They taste great. There's a lemon, blueberries, chocolate pomegranate, fig apple, and a peanut butter one. They're terrific. And a lot of people, too, they take away the hunger a little bit, which is a good thing. That's not what they're designed for, but that's not a bad compliment to it. Have you tried any of these, Dr. McCullough? You like them?
I have. I have to tell you, I do use them for hunger control.
Awesome.
I mean, everyone has their own reason to reach for a supplement, but for me, it's, you know, I tend to run hungry, and I know some of our listeners do too. And I tell you, have one, and these come in a pack where you have like two squares. Have one, and then, you know, wait a few minutes, ask yourself if you're hungry. If you still are, have the second one, and I can tell you, your hunger is extinguished.
It is, and they taste great, do they not? I mean, what do you think?
Well, they have so many choices. You're going to find the ones that you like. And I just, you know, I always encourage people, don't buy too much of one flavor. Kind of mix and match here a little bit until you find the ones that you like. And
That's like any other bar,
there's ones you like. I tend to be kind of more peanut butter oriented. Other people aren't.
Right, right. All right. So here's the deal. At AmericaOutLoud.shop, Heal Right. And you'll also see this as the featured product at AmericaOutLoud.news. Go ahead and you'll get 20% off of this again now. That was part of the arrangement. They never give 20. The most they ever give out there is 10%. Peter, how do you like that? I said, no, we got to have 20.
Wow.
And so we got the 20% off on this product. And this is I was really excited about this product. It is really, really good. And they have a sample package. They have a sample package where you can get all the flavors for $19.99. It's cheap enough. And free shipping and everything. I'm just looking at the site right now, the sample package. So check it out. Get the sample package. See what flavors you like. I bet you'll come back and love the lemon blueberry one. The chocolate pomegranate one is killer. I love the apple fig. Not crazy about the peanut butter, but that's just me.
Oh, see, that's what it is. Each person is different. I think I had one that was more heavier chocolate. I said, you know, it's just too much. But, you know, I think the fact that they have the sampler pack and it's so affordable is important because it's unlikely that someone's going to like all of them. Sometimes they do. Yeah. But people have taste preferences.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah, you find your taste preferences. And what people are doing is, you know, they're on the run. They're in the car. They're on the go. You don't want to stop and make a bad choice buying some fast food or what have you. You just need something to kind of tide you over. I think this is really a great choice.
And you can feel it work for your gut performance and your supporting your metabolism and your gut performance. And that's a big thing for me as well, because I've always had a tricky gut. But this product is really, really cool. 20% off. Use the code OUTLOUD, AmericaOutLoud.shop. Let me know what flavors you like out there. You try them and see what you think. I can see some of the hosts sending us. I see what the popular flavors are. But let me know what you like out there when you try them and see what you think. I think you're going to love this product. And it's what they say here, fight back with food as medicine. Boy, I'll tell you what, it surely don't taste like medicine. I'll give you that much. But it's packed with all the things you need there. Take a look. They've got research and study on there as well. Take a real quick pause here, friends. Be right back with you here on America Out Loud Pulse.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with Heal Right. Heal Right is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, Heal Right is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
One of the biggest advances in nutraceuticals and supplements is Healthy Cell. And the Healthy Cell line is extensive. I typically focus on the microgel technology. Three major products here: Immune Super Boost, the Focus, and recall, and then the REM sleep supplement. Each one of these is complementary, and they can have a role, I think, in the health of your life each and every day. I know they do in my case. Many of you know, after COVID-19 twice, I spent almost the entire year in 2022 with an upper respiratory tract illness. Now, thankfully, and I've been diligent with the Immune Super Boost in the morning, followed by Focus and Energy, and then in the evening time, the REM sleep supplement. The microgel technology works, and boy, does it work fast. So go to our website, America Out Loud Talk Radio, find the banner bar for Healthy Cell, click on it, and that'll take you to the site to get a discount on your purchase of all Healthy Cell products. So let's get real, let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
You wouldn't go a day without brushing your teeth or washing your hands. What about washing your nose? I mean, your nose does filter the air you breathe, air loaded with bacteria, viruses, and irritants. Make nasal hygiene part of your routine with Clear. No messy bottles to fill, no drowning sensation. Clear is a natural drug-free saline with the added benefit of xylitol, which blocks bacterial and viral adhesion. Available in stores and online at clear.com. That is X-L-E-A-R.com.
And we join you back here on America Out Loud Pulse. It is Malcolm Out Loud here, along with Dr. Peter McCullough. Q&A 108, let's get to some questions right now. Boy, this first one, I gotta get into this. It's from Raven. The CARES Act was passed. Listen to this comment, and wow, it's killer here. The CARES Act was passed through Congress and Trump signed it into law. It was responsible for funding Fauci's human rights violations and murder through the hospital protocols. Remdesivir is an experimental antiviral that killed my family and friends. The ventilator hoses were shoved down their throats, and when they fought the vents, they were given a horrific sedation med that basically paralyzed their bodies but left them fully conscious of the torture of the ventilator. I've heard this from others as well. It's pretty sick. The early life-saving protocols were zinc, vitamin D3, ivermectin, budesonide, and other life-saving steroids. Steroids that would have kept these COVID patients off of the vents. Budesonide works. Congress was shown how steroids inhaled work to stop the inflammation of the lungs, but because these politicians are bought and paid for, they ignored life-saving drugs. Our Congress, who voted for the CARES Act, must be punished, as well as Fauci. Here's her, and I had, because of the story we covered up front, I had to get this one in. Raven says this, her final statement. I say that if they all go to court and are found guilty of premeditated murder of our fellow Americans, the only good penalty is death by public hanging. Oh, my golly. You see how ripped people are, Dr. McCullough?
Mm-hmm.
Right or wrong?
Well, no, right. I was just reading this review from Foley and Lardner. It's actually a group I've done some work with in Washington, a legal group. And this listener is right on. You know, the Coronavirus Aid and Relief and Economic Security Act, the CARES Act, yeah, enacted into law under President Trump, March 25th, 2020. Senate unanimously passed 96-0. And this was known as, this is phase three of economic relief. And it just, it was a sweeping package.
Yeah.
And, there didn't look like there was any discussion on this. There was just, this just was railroaded in. It had a ton of economic, most of it's economic, about employees and shutting things down and paycheck protection and things of this nature. But tell you what, something as broad and sweeping as this, we just can't hand over these executives.
No, and that message, this message from Raven, and I said, it just goes so much to what we talked about up top of the broadcast. You have to cover it. And there it is. And Raven, we hear you loud and clear. I don't know what to say anymore about these evil folks and what happened. It's horrible. This next one's from Helen. Hello, Dr. McCullough and Malcolm. God bless you both and your families for all your sacrifice. I heard Dr. McCullough say that he and his wife got the JN1 variant and that it was a rougher illness than previous Omicron variants. What does that mean for those of us like myself and Malcolm's wife who had a scary time with Delta? Oh, she remembered. Ellen was listening. I have mild bronchiectasis, is it right? Right? Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Right. It's not bronchitis. Yeah. It's the new, is this newest variant more dangerous to lungs? Also, did you get sick with the JN1 even when using the nasal sprays and goggles? Would it be wise to take ivermectin once a week for prevention? Any comments to Helen?
Yes. Now, remember when I got sick in this last fall, I'm presuming it was JN1. I didn't get tested, but it's the only thing that made sense. And afterwards, my ears started ringing. I had the characteristic kind of long COVID. So I'm pretty sure I got nailed. My wife did too. I mean, to the point, Malcolm, where I couldn't talk or hardly breathe. I needed an IV. I couldn't go into work. It just had to be the case. Yes, it did break through the nasal sprays. I hit the nasal sprays pretty hard. Now, I use the iodine-based nasal sprays, and what we've learned is that I probably should have been chronically using the Clear, X-L-E-A-R. Clear is a xylitol-based nasal spray that really now has half a dozen or more studies showing it does prevent COVID from even coming on. But this one broke through the nasal sprays. For the listener, bronchiectasis is a setup to have more pulmonary problems. If I've learned anything on this, is we should have gone harder early with the drugs, and particularly doxycycline. And my mom, I think, invariably got it from us, and I think doxycycline played an important role. So there may be a secondary bacterial infection, a mycoplasma or otherwise bacterial infection. But we need McCullough protocol. Those who've had severe pulmonary cases the first time, they will do better next time because of natural immunity, but it could be rough, and be prepared. This is where having one of the COVID kits would be really important from the wellness company. I do have to say parenthetically, I have a patient right now who was hospitalized with the first case of COVID, got really, really sick, nearly went on the ventilator. You know the story, and now she's got COVID now. She did test positive. We've completely confirmed it. And I am not fooling around. I'm running full McCullough protocol. Her husband actually just texted me during the show. She's doing okay. She's not anywhere close to being hospitalized. So, you know, the methods work. McCullough protocol works. The multi-drug approach works.
Yeah.
But we have to be assertive. And yes, it can blow through. It can break through the nasal sprays. Prophylactic ivermectin, I don't think so. Honestly, I think if there's going to be a prophylactic, it would probably be hydroxychloroquine. But
Yeah, I remember you said that before.
I think we just treat reactively. Yeah.
This next one is from Dorothy. What is the mechanism of these cardiac arrests without myocarditis?
It's likely some form of a kind of microischemic cardiomyopathy. All the PET scans are abnormal. The myocarditis, it may exist, and you just can't see it because there's not enough fine cuts through the heart on MRI, or they don't have an autopsy. But it's part of this continuum of cardiac injury with the vaccine.
Last one, maybe an uplifting one, I don't know, from Letitia. Dr. McCullough, there was a study released recently about the vaccine affecting the offspring of mice in terms of their neurological function. I know of people who have had a vaccine and have had children who are fine mentally and physically. Why could this be?
Hopefully with side effects, they're rare to non-existent. So let's hope every single child born of vaccinated parents is fine. And hopefully that's the case. But the vaccines were rushed through. Remember, there were no preclinical studies to look at, you know, fertility, fecundity, what would happen with the offspring. And this study that was done looked like the vaccinated animals, they had offspring that some of them took on neurologic features of autism. So, and there are ways to test autism in animals. So we just simply have to be wary of the fact that the studies are not coming out clean for the vaccines.
All right, friends, that is a wrap here. Thank you for joining us on America Out Loud, folks. Always a beacon.